Thank you, Zsolt, and good morning, everybody. Let me start by thanking Hungary for hosting us, for organizing this conference, which is indeed very relevant and important. 10 years of the EU membership of our countries is an anniversary that deserves to be remembered, commemorated, and also assessed. And it's no surprise that that's what we are going to do in Slovakia, in Bratislava, as well later this week and next week to continue. I like to say that there are no ifs in real life. So let's not waste our time speculating about what if. Let's rather focus on what really happened, why it happened, what could have happened differently, and how to make sure that if there were mistakes in the past, they will be not repeated in the future. Here, I want to be very clear when dwelling a bit on the title of the conference. From Slovakia's perspective, there are no missed opportunities and there are no dilemmas. For us, these 10 years has been an opportunity seized for our citizens, for our country, for our region. Why? Because our citizens could enjoy the European freedoms, they could enjoy the highest world standards for the protection of human rights. Of course, they could enjoy the political stability and again economic prosperity, even though we shall not forget that out of these 10 years, we as new members and European Union as such have been going through a difficult crisis for the second half of the last 5 years. Speaking about the country, I like to quote Radek Sikorski, who says, if you are not at the table, be sure you are on the menu. So for the last 10 years, we have been at the table, and having been through both, one cannot compare this. The relevance of each of our countries has grown, of course, compared to our geographical or geopolitical weight, thanks to the fact that we are members of this prestigious club. And our region is now an integral part of a peaceful, democratic, prosperous, and stable environment. And this is something that our citizens tend to take for granted, but look as close as to Ukraine these days and to understand that nothing can be taken for granted. And it's important that we speak about these achievements, and it's important we do it now in the run-up to the European elections, because there are people who don't believe in European Union, who are lying about EU, the people who are Eurosceptics or even openly anti-EU EU people, and it's important that we balance their statement. Does it mean that everything is perfect and ideal in the European Union? No. Of course, there are many things that deserve to be commented and to be improved, but I wouldn't call them opportunities missed. I would rather say it's a work in progress. Single market has not been completed yet. The genuine European Monetary Union and Economic Union with its four pillars is far from being completed. We are working or progressing quite well on the first pillar, the Banking Union, but there is so much to do. Common energy policy has become a question of the day. Democratic legitimacy, that means bringing Union closer to our people, making European Union understandable, comprehensible for our people. It's extremely topical issue these days. Reducing the excessive regulation and administrative burden. It's also something which especially our business people and entrepreneurs understand. Common foreign security policy, common security and defense policy of the European Union would also wish to see significant improvements. And there are many other problems. Some of them are common to the four countries. Let me mention some of them. More effective use of Eurofunds, fighting unemployment, especially youth unemployment, and also to reduce the differences in working conditions, in salaries among the EU member states, and thus avoiding the brain drain, which is taking place in the European Union. Enhancing quality of education in general, and concentrating on science, research, and innovation in particular. Finding solution to the Roma issue, to impoverished and marginalized Roma communities. And also getting more senior positions in the European Union institutions for our countries and for our region. And I could follow on with the issue, so it is indeed a work in progress. It's important that we do work and we improve what we have already identified as issues that deserve to look more closely into. In doing so, we, I believe, should observe several principles. One of them is solidarity and responsibility must go hand in hand. One should not call for solidarity unless one has been responsible with its own duties, commitments, and it's only after that you can call the others to demonstrate solidarity with you. Second, if there are missed opportunities, we should not blame Brussels for them, because European Union is us. We are shaping the European Union, we are deciding about the EU policy, we are building European Union in our countries, not vice versa. Let's not forget it. Subsidiarity principle. This should not be just an article in the treaties. We should not be afraid of sharing more sovereignty on the EU level, if need be, and that's the philosophy in Slovakia. But at the same time, let's remain open to deregulation whenever it is reasonable. And finally, improving regional cooperation. It's always important, because this is what accelerates and improves the cooperation at the EU level. And here, the Visegrad 4 serves as an extremely good example. We more and more often bring one voice to Brussels, one and more powerful voice instead of four voices. And I'm looking forward to the continuation of this. Now, to comment more on the subject of our panel. First, Visegrad 4, where do we come from? I see three stages in the Visegrad 4 development. First one, of course, the period of 90s and early 2000s. We all know the story, there is no need to elaborate on that. Painful transformation, major reforms, political, economic, and in the case of Slovakia and the Czech Republic, on top of it, also the building of a new statehood. You are also well aware of the specific story of Slovakia being a late starter, and that was the time when Visegrad 4 was extremely important for reminding our partners that there is an empty chair for Slovakia as it is right now on the stage. We are very grateful for that. It was extremely helpful and it helped us to catch up as we managed. So this was the initial period of the V4 cooperation, which was known as a pragmatic and result-oriented cooperation. At that time, the clear European perspective was vital. We were working very hard, we were successful, we were among the most successful and best prepared when we joined the European Union in 2004, and it was also because EU and NATO integration was unquestionably our number one priority. Then after joining the European Union, we needed some time for reflection, as individual countries and as a region. There were voices, and we all remember, saying that V4 would become irrelevant after joining, but they proved wrong, and as a matter of fact, Visegrad 4 became even more important to all of us. So the second period was the transitional period, adjusting to the new reality, new situation after joining. And then we entered into the third stage, which I call the period of strategic cooperation. Because we have moved into fields such as the coordination of the EU policies, energy, security and defense cooperation, and foreign policy cooperation. Where are we now as Visegrad 4? I believe that we have defined our core agenda well and properly. So it's the Balkans-Eastern Partnership, energy interconnections, pooling and sharing of our security defense capabilities. These are all very topical and proved to be well defined. We've also learned and understood that if we make concrete progress in these fields, our relevance in the European Union and in NATO as well will grow further. Let's not forget, and Radek spoke about it, that Central Europe is one of the engines of the European growth, despite the crisis, and we have to keep maintaining this trend. I want to use this opportunity to appreciate a very efficient Hungarian presidency of the Visegrad 4. The fact is that I've been traveling to Budapest as often as I do to Brussels in the last month, because there are so many good reasons to be here, and this speaks for itself, and I want to assure you that together with my colleagues in Bratislava, we are working hard to make sure that we maintain the dynamism and the momentum after we take over as of 1st of July. And finally, where are we heading? The good news is that there is no reason to be afraid that we will get out of business as Visegrad 4. On the contrary, there are many issues on our agenda. First of all, the V4 expertise on the Western Balkans and Eastern Partnership is respected in the European Union. Let's not forget that we are the only regional group in the European Union which holds regular annual meetings with both our partners from the Western Balkans and from the Eastern Partnership, as we do later today and tomorrow. Second, the Visegrad 4 battle group, which should be operational in the first half of 2016. For me, this should be a good starting point, certainly not the ultimate goal of our further cooperation in security and defense issues. Third, energy. We have made significant progress in building our interconnections of our energy infrastructure after the gas crisis 2009. The situation of these days proves us right, so we shall look into what more can we do to improve our energy security. And fourth, and again, Radek spoke about it, the prestige of the Visegrad 4 has been constantly increasing, and there is an increased interest from other countries to be invited into a V4 plus format. I, as a future president of V4, have already a list of countries who ask to be invited to our meetings. So let's use this format effectively and wisely, because it's very efficient. So to conclude, Visegrad 4 nowadays, as a group and as individual countries, are respected and reliable partners in the European Union. We not only enjoy the benefits of our membership, but we also actively contribute to the further development of the European Union's policies. Whenever we speak with one voice, the world listens to us. So let's use our common voice as often and as intensively as possible. And finally, 10 years after the EU Big Bang enlargement, it's high time to stop thinking in terms of old and new member states in East and West divisions, and I believe that Visegrad 4, through our achievements and through our influence, could be instrumental in this regard. Thank you very much.